Hi, and welcome to the second edition of the English Corner with me, Marilyn Sheets, and Elise Bloom here at Radio Sefarad. Just a quick note to let you all know that a new edition of the English Corner will be on every weekend, and we hope you will enjoy our upcoming programs. As we all know, George Bush will be spending another 4 years in the White House, but what we'll focus on here is the voting tendencies of American Jews. Approximately 73% of American Jews identify themselves as moderate or liberal, while only 23% identify themselves as conservative. President Bush only received 19% of the Jewish vote in 2000, but in this year's election, that number jumped to over 30%. Very surprisingly, the Kerry Edwards campaign did worse with American Jews than any other Democratic campaign in the past 12 years.
In the States, Jews are regarded as hot political property, and during the 20th century and into this century, political parties have sought to be responsive to the Jewish community. According to polls, Jews in the United States perceive themselves to be political activists and actively engage in advocacy, policymaking, and the electoral process. The election this year has been both exciting and draining, and we both are glad it has finally come to an end.
Now moving on to our next topic. Recently I had the pleasure of interviewing a very interesting man by the name of Albert Savanoglu on his experience as a Sephardic Jew in several countries, including Turkey, the United States, and Spain. Thanks for joining us, Albert.
Hey, you're welcome.
So you were born in Turkey, went to school in the United States, and now live and work in Spain. Why did you choose to stay here in Spain?
This is due to my background, which is Sephardic Jewish. So actually I had no specific reason to come to Spain except for my background. As I just told you, I was really interested in finding out more about where my ancestors were coming from. As you know, my ancestors were kicked out of here on the 15th century, but they kept the tradition of speaking Old Spanish up to this day. My parents still speak Old Spanish, and I grew up hearing Old Spanish, basically from my grandmother who lived with us and who spoke better Spanish than any other language, though she had been living all her life in Turkey. So I grew up understanding that language, and then I was really amazed to find out that it was a language that could that was being spoken right now by so many people. So I got more interested in modern Spanish, in the literature, and on and on. And so I just decided to come here where it had all started and just see what remained here of that, you know. And, you know, it was originally a project, a plan of being here a couple of years, but, you know, then life takes you in directions that you can't guess beforehand. So, and I've been here for like 11 years now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you studied in the United States.
Yes, I did. Actually, I spent a long time in the United States. I went there just after high school, and I studied at Brown University. I studied engineering and history as well. And then I was in Boston for 5 years doing a master's in mathematics and while doing various things until I just thought it was enough. And
And you just left?
Yeah.
And what was your experience between Jews and non-Jews, both in the United States and here in Spain?
Well, it's very different. You know, it's obviously very different. The coming to the U.S. was a big experience for me in terms of my Jewish, how I perceived my Jewish identity. Because growing up in Turkey, I never had problems in that sense. But one always has the feeling of being a minority. Somehow, in the back of your mind, there are limitations, you know, like, you know that you cannot do certain things. I don't mean like socially, but like, for example, professionally. I mean, you know that a Jew cannot even think of becoming prime minister or things like that, you know, or even a civil servant, Well, I mean, it's just, they're not laws or anything, and it's changing a lot. But you always have this in the back of your mind, maybe by the sheer fact of numbers, that there are only 20,000 Jews in Turkey and in a population of like 70 million right now. But so when I got to the States and I started discovering, like, I don't know, my professor was Jewish, like many of my classmates were Jewish, the doctor that I was dealing with, this and that, and then you just have like new horizons, like all these limitations disappear, and like you feel a strong motivation, like motivates your life to see, like, kind of famous professor, he's Jewish, you know, like a famous writer, he's Jewish, like. It's a different. It's a kind of liberation, you know. Like it motivates you a lot. Back here, it's more like Turkey, you know. Back to square one. Well, see, it's like again that sense of being a minority, being like weak, being like. I mean, not that anybody's oppressing you or anything like that, but it's just like some unseen limitations there, psychological barriers that need to be. Again, maybe it's just the numbers, the history, right, you know. Right.
And what do you think about the relationship between Spain and the United States?
Well, you know, I mean, if we leave aside the Jewish issue, well, obviously, I think from my point of view, social relations are kind of easier here. And the United States is a, well, I mean, I can't speak of the whole of the United States. I mean, I'm just like East Coast,
right.
Like East and West Coast, but I don't know anything about the interior, I must say. But I found it's a society which is organized in a different way. I mean, it's obviously not a Mediterranean society where people like to live on the streets and like relationships are kind of easier. In a sense. No, this is not to say that you can't have good friendships or deep relations. It's just not it's a different process, you know. I mean, if that's what you were asking, I mean, it's a differently organized society.
Yeah, it is.
But again, you know, I mean, from now, having the perspective of now, like having lived in both places quite a long time, it's not so different as it seems.
Well, moving on then, having been born in Turkey, I think this is really interesting for students in the United States and all over the world. But what are some of your thoughts about Turkey and its struggle to become more integrated in Europe?
Well, you know, I have to tell you that, yeah, I keep in touch with Turkey quite a bit. I mean, I go there quite often, and some of my friends are really people who are in high positions now, lobbying for the entrance of Turkey to the European Union. So I have quite a bit of information on that. Well, you know, I think the country is. You have to know that it's a country which has a lot of contrasting ways of life. So we can say that, for example, out of 70 million people, 10 or 15 million are ready right now to go to join the European Union, whereas the rest are really far away from it. Okay?
You mean religiously?
So, no, I'm not talking about religion. Well, that's another issue, you know. I mean, but the religion issue has been like... promoted to the first order of importance, whereas I think like there are other issues like the economic issue, the social issues, the education, all of these things which make most people still very far away from the European Union. I mean, it's not religion. And in fact, Turkey is not a really religious country, and I don't think it will ever be, though there has been a upsurge of religion in the last 20 years. With the influence of Iran, a lot of money pouring in from Iran and Saudi Arabia, fundamentalism going up. But still, I mean, in the grassroots, it's not a religious country in the sense of religious fanatics, fundamentalists, you know. It has always followed, historically, a very mild version of Islam. okay, which is actually not liked by most of Arab countries because they find it, like as I said, too mild and too like towards well, it's not to their liking. Okay, mm-hmm. So. But the issues are important issues are as I said, I mean that most people are living quite far away from the European Union standards as to economics, as to social ways, or as to education, and so that's going to be a really tough job. Mm-hmm. And so the people who are pulling this train, if you like, are those 10 or 15 million people who are like up to more or less European standards in some ways, you know. But I think what's going to happen is that, well, entry into European Union in the next 15 years or so is quite, it's not likely, okay. But they can just, with Europe checking Turkey, they can. There's going to be lots of good things happening, like lots of progress.
Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us here.
Okay, no problem. Thanks.
We are now going to finish with the remembrance of a night that is forever etched in the memories of Jews around the world. This past week, on November 9th in 1938, occurred what is known as the Night of Broken Glass.
Over 1,000 synagogues were burned to the ground, over 7,000 Jewish businesses were trashed, not to mention dozens killed, and countless Jewish homes, schools, and hospitals looted while authorities stood by.
This night made an already hard life even harder for Jewish teenagers. They were now, like their parents, completely segregated from their non-Jewish peers. This night came to be known as the Night of Broken Glass because of all the shattered glass that remained in the aftermath of this unthinkable tragedy.
Thank you for joining us this week at the English Corner at Radio Sefarad. As always, we wish you all a great week and look forward to being with you again next week. Enjoy.
Hasta luego.
Ciao.